Welcome to the Arlington Street Church podcast. Founded in 1729, Arlington Street continues today as a gathering place for progressive people of faith in the greater Boston area and beyond. We are located at the corner of Arlington and Boylston Streets, across from the Public Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. Please visit ascboston.org for more information about this historic Unitarian Universalist congregation. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.
I felt jubilant, making signs with my sister and my nieces, and heading into the recent hands-off march. So it took me by surprise to find myself standing in the middle of that crowd with tears streaming down my face. Until that moment, I hadn't realized just how dispirited I had become. I know that I'm in good company here when I say that it's been devastating to watch so much of what we cherish be systematically dismantled. I needed that glorious mass mobilization to remind me that bigger forces are at work and that I have a part in the resistance. The joyful spirit of that gathering rekindled my sputtering sense of hope. The protesters brought their creative energy and a seemingly endless array of uplifting and hilarious signs, including, "So much wrong, so little cardboard." But it was the Gulf of Mexico at birth. It takes a minute. So bad, even the introverts are here. And my favorite, "Keep your tiny hands off my public lands." It's good to be reminded that joy is essential, especially when things are grim. No one knows this better than the visionaries who founded ACT UP in the midst of the escalating AIDS crisis. Those were desperate days. Thousands and thousands of young men were dying terrible deaths, while the people in power remained callously indifferent. Nearly 40 years later, ACT UP is considered one of the most successful activist groups in American history. Their mission was clear and urgent: end the AIDS crisis through direct action. ACT UP members were brilliant at channeling life-affirming joy, energy, and creativity into their theatrical protests. Here's activist Peter Stanley describing a particularly inspired action. "On the sunny morning of September 5th, 1991, we arrived in our rented U-Haul at the home of North Carolina Senator Jesse Helms. Then in his third term, the virulently homophobic Helms had established himself as the Senate's most bombastic opponent of federal funding on HIV research, treatment, or prevention. We positioned a 28-foot extension ladder and made our way to the roof while pushing and pulling a heavy duffel bag and an air blower. We unfurled reams of parachute fabric and connected the blower. Team members on the ground used rubber mallets to stake the bottom of the custom-made inflatable into the grass. Then we prayed the police wouldn't arrive before the air filled the tip. Within minutes, the senator's two-story brick colonial was completely enveloped by an enormous yellow condom." The message stenciled front and center for the TV cameras pronounced, "A condom to stop unsafe politics. Helms is deadlier than a virus." It's a curious feature of autocratic regimes that forms of joy are often banned. This is designer and founder of the Aesthetics of Joy blog, Ingrid Fettel Lee. She continues, in Mao's China, listening to Beethoven was a crime. The Nazis limited jazz and swing bands and banned works from Jewish composers. What dictators know is that joy has a propulsive force. Anything that gathers and channels energy threatens to upend the rigid control of a population. Music, dance, and art fuel an emotional response that builds momentum. Consider the singing revolution that swept across Latvia, Lithuania, and Estonia between 1987 and 1991. This series of mass singing demonstrations is credited with restoring independence to the Baltic states and ending the Cold War. Psychologists tell us that people who engage in communal singing or dance become connected on a physical level. The heart rates of choral singers synchronize. Brain waves line up when musicians play the same riff. These experiences of synchrony create an unconscious physiological experience of community. Studies show that even when strangers move or vocalize together, they become more generous, more altruistic, and more willing to sacrifice their own needs for the good of the group. Celebratory joy creates emotional and physical unity, and a unified populace is hard to dominate. Joy is a sign of vibrant life, of thriving. It's one of the things that makes us truly human. Reclaiming our sources of joy is how we refuse to be dehumanized and reassert our vitality. Holocaust survivor and author Elie Wiesel described a fellow prisoner trading a ration of bread for the materials to piece together a makeshift menorah. Shocked that the man would trade something so essential to his survival, Wiesel asked him, "Hanukkah in Auschwitz?" To which the man replied, "Especially in Auschwitz." The more dehumanizing the circumstances, the more we need these markers of our humanity. In World War I, soldiers on both sides were known to cultivate gardens in the trenches. In 1915, a soldier named Gotthold von Roden described a trench adorned with spent howitzer shell cases, repurposed as pots for snowdrops. Whether it's the transcendent joy of sacred ritual or the simple joy of cultivating a garden, the pursuit of joy amid great struggle sustains our humanity when it is most threatened. I know that it can be hard to muster joy when things feel so bleak. We have a lot to grieve. These are increasingly difficult and dangerous days in our country. Here at home, we're in the midst of this ministerial transition process, which is so hard and so sad. And yet, we here at Arlington Street are well practiced at finding joy in the face of life's suffering. In the Book of Joy, Archbishop Desmond Tutu instructs us that discovering more joy does not save us from the inevitability of hardship and heartbreak. In fact, we may cry more easily but we will love more easily too. Perhaps we are just more alive. Yet as we discover more joy, we can face suffering in a way that ennobles rather than embitters. We can have hardship without becoming hard. We have heartbreak without being broken. Pastor, scholar, and civil rights elder Vincent Harding often spoke about what he called live human signposts. By this he meant people who embody new ways of seeing and becoming. Human signposts open up possibilities by offering a light in the darkness and by pointing the way forward to the world we want to inhabit. After last Sunday's service, Peter, one of our visiting marathon runners, approached Reverend John and me with shining eyes and a big smile. Peter said, "Walking into this church this morning felt like a breath of fresh air. As soon as I arrived, I could just feel the positivity and the love here. It almost brought me to tears. There is so much hatred and fear in most of the spaces I'm in these days. But this place is different. I'm so grateful for the reminder that I have a choice. I don't have to be down there in the muck where it feels terrible. I can choose joy and love and the way it feels here. This place is really special. Please don't ever lose that." If you only remember one thing that I say today, please let it be this. What makes Arlington Street remarkable is that we are a community that delights in joy and we love each other well. You are live human signposts for me, for Peter, and for so many people looking for a world with more love and more joy. I could out-filibuster Cory Booker with Arlington Street Stories. But for now, I'll lift up just a few highlights. We are a community that reveres coming together each week to lift up our sorrows and our joys. We declare that it's time for church by ringing the steeple bells and filling the air with bubbles. The Boston Globe has run a front page story on our rubber ducky ministry of joy. We wholeheartedly sing show tunes at memorial services. Our amazing choir can create sacred music from a Bach cantata or a Beatles tune. Some of our most faithful and best dressed attendees on Sundays are dogs. We celebrate Pride as a high holy day. We are people who love to laugh and to know how to give a good hug. And just last night, we had a conga line going down the center aisle, led by two beautiful, blissful brides who had just pledged their love and their lives to one another. Take heart, my friends. These are trying times, but we will not relinquish our joy. We will tend to the spark of hope. Cultivating joy is not a distraction from resistance, but one of its greatest sources of power. Thank you for being a breath of fresh air and the live human signposts pointing the way to the world we want to inhabit. Our spirit of love is what makes everything possible in this beloved spiritual community. You are my great joy. I love you very much. Amen. And now for our benediction, I invite you to put your hands over your heart and namaste. I bow to the divine in you. This morning's benediction comes from the Book of Joy by His Holiness the Dalai Lama and Archbishop Desmond Tutu. No dark fate determines the future. We do. Each day and each moment, we are able to create and recreate our lives and the quality of human life on our planet. The more we turn toward the suffering, our own and others, the more we turn toward the joy. Lasting joy cannot be found in pursuit of any goal or achievement. It resides only in the human mind and heart. True joy is a way of being. Amen. Let's keep this faith, beloveds, and pass it on. The service begins when the service ends. Bless your hearts. I love you. Amen.
Please visit ascboston.org for more information about this historic Unitarian Universalist congregation. Arlington Street Church, gathered in love and service for justice and peace.